back again for the next iteration of Behind the Beer WNC. A group of guys, group of friends gathering to banter about all sort of topics. Normally, we always just settle in on high school football. It's a podcast for our entertainment. We hope you're entertained, too. If you're not, there are other options out there, but we are knee-deep into football season. College, pro, high school, youth league, middle school, flag football's going on. I think there's some women's leagues even playing out there. It's fantastic. It's a great time of year, and we're going to talk about just some of those topics, not all of those topics. So, gentlemen, how about the weekend, right? Good football out there. Oh, first, man. I do have a beef to bring up with you, gentlemen.
Oh, gosh.
Wow, right off the bat.
Yeah, right out of
At
the
At least
gate.
We're friends this week. Go ahead.
We are for now. I did so appreciate all of you going in and picking A.C. Reynolds and leaving me alone to pick Wataga in my hour of weakness. And that was fantastic. And Carson, you did a great job with that board that you put out there. The W on there was so big.
Did you see
it? It pushed the green paw below it down.
I almost just covered up the W the whole row. I mean, it was intentionally a little bit larger.
Hang on. Here's what Pat said a couple weeks ago.
I was actually going to have to pick against ACR for the first time.
He did pick against ACR for the first time.
And how about this?
And it worked out.
Pat is 1-0 against AC Reynolds.
The reverse rat poison from Pat Pohl, everyone.
Oh, well, in case you listeners are not aware, my father had passed away literally the day before we'd recorded that. So that's why I wasn't on the podcast. And no excuses. I mean, I kind of did feel that Wataga was probably going to be able to get the job done. That was contributory toward my sour mood when I was going through my picks last week. So, and then also the other nice thing about the podcast, because you doorknobs all knew what was going on, and then Lewis comes out of the gate and says, the reason why Pat is not here is because of what happened in the game Friday night.
Against East Forsyth.
Yeah, against East Forsyth.
We do have some news about Lewis. Go ahead, Carson. Share the news.
Which news?
Lewis has been removed from the podcast either.
Yes, I was going to say we have multiple avenues of news for Lewis in this episode. But Lewis has been effective immediately, has been removed from the podcast until Owen or Florida State wins a football game. And this could go as long as Friday night, or this could go into 2025.
I was about to say, he may not be back for the rest of the football season. May just have Ghost Lewis here to give his picks.
But he will be missed dearly. But I think he'll be well represented. But yes, Lewis has, it was a unanimous 4-1 vote. And I think if he actually thought about it, he would probably vote himself off as well to sacrifice for a win. So hopefully Owen or
both.
Florida State or both can pull a victory out so Lewis can be back on the
show. Do we know who Florida State's playing this week?
I don't know if it matters.
When do they go to the backup quarterback?
Owen versus Florida State could be. Lewis would get back on the podcast if that was.
Someone would win.
Someone would have to win that game.
One would.
Okay, that's enough. But Lewis is not with us. We've got his picks. Talk about all the different footballs. Did you guys hear when Pat mentioned the women football? He said it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Is he talking about is there normal women's leagues? The only woman league I've ever seen is
the lingerie league.
So is that what
I'm not familiar with that league. Oh, I'd like to find that league.
Now
Come on, Pat.
I'm not. Innocent.
Paint this picture for me.
I think they did away with it.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
I'm not painting this picture for
you. Now they're playing football in lingerie. Or they have pads on.
They also have pads.
For sure, pads. That's the only women's football league I know of.
Well, I thought it was a flag football league that I was referring to. I was not aware of the lingerie league.
There is a women's flag league. Okay. Carson, the lingerie league's been gone a while.
Yeah.
Has it been gone a while?
It's an interesting series of knowledge bases. You have the lingerie league on one side of the spectrum and the Hallmark Channel on the other side of the spectrum. That's pretty impressive.
I know. Yes. See, you've got to be well-versed, Pat.
Indeed. A real Renaissance man over here next to me. This is awesome.
Yes. Yes. Oh, boy.
A real Renaissance man. Oh, my gosh.
But it's good to be back with you guys. We've got a lot of good things to talk about. Cover a little NFL real quick. I don't know if Caleb Williams is him yet.
Okay. Is he better than your previous quarterback? Because I think he won, didn't he?
He's 1-1. He lost last night on Sunday Night Football. C.J. Stroud is confirmed, still very good. I think the Bears' defense is solid, but we are not getting anything out of our offense, and we have weapons. So it is concerning, but it's a long year, and I do not think that we are in any worse position than the Carolina Panthers.
They're bad. They're real bad.
I mean, that's got to go down as the worst trade in NFL history, maybe.
They got fleeced.
Yeah. Oof.
Hey, at least your quarterback didn't leave, wobbly again for the third time.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Tua got his bell rung pretty good, Mike.
Again. I'm afraid this may be near the end. They say he doesn't want to retire, but, I mean, how many shots are you going to take?
Would you take Tom Brady if Tom Brady was like, hey, I'm going to come out?
No. He's been out of the game two years. He's an older guy. I mean, the offensive weapons are there. You got to get him the ball, but he's an older guy.
Coach, though. That coach seems like a player's coach for sure.
So him and the coach of Detroit, what's his name?
Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell. Those two, now they're total opposites, but they both seem like they'd be fun to play for.
They definitely.
Oh, for sure. Did you see Dan Campbell fake a punt on his own like 20 on Sunday? It was incredible.
Did you see him come out of halftime and apologize? He said, "Listen, I made a terrible call, and these guys are going to have to overcome it, but it's all on me."
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, "What?"
Post game, he said, "That's all 100% we on us coaches, and we absolutely let them down." You don't hear a lot of coaches come out and, I mean, you don't.
No.
Say that we asked our guys to get better. They got better. We let them down.
Yeah, that's always always awesome to hear. And a lot of times you get a lot of that coach speak at those halftime interviews, and most of them are just pointless. I mean, they're not saying anything or giving you anything of substance. So it's nice when you get a change up like that and he takes some accountability in front of everyone.
There are a couple things I don't like in this life. In-car interviews in racing, sideline interviews during the game with coaches. Those things to me are ridiculous. We don't come to your job and be like, "So Derek, tell me, what do the taxes look like today?"
Yeah, 100%.
Pat, what kind of drugs you pushing today? I mean, we don't do that. That coming when they where they work, I feel like it's such an intrusion, and I don't like it.
I get interviewed all the time, though. It's how I roll.
Well, you're famous.
Something like that.
And then, especially with football. And NASCAR too, you have to be insanely focused to be great at your craft at such a high level, and to ask them to flip that switch off and then flip it back on again, it's too much.
And I agree.
And it's like I said, nothing of substance is ever said. Yeah. It just needs to go away. They get
stupid questions on the sideline.
Horrible.
How are you feeling?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you got shut out in the first half. What can you do to,
score
get the
more
offense
points.
Better?
Was
yeah.
it Aaron Andrews who asked Richard Sherman that question?
It was,
I mean, that's still an all-time moment. Because Derek said, you don't really ever get any answers with substance. But even the San Francisco running back got in trouble because he answered.
Yes.
He said that he had known that he'd been starting since Friday night. And then in his post-game presser, he was like, "This is why I don't like talking to the media." Because Here's the thing.
He could have known he was starting and not known McCaffrey was out.
Correct.
That's two that separate
true.
Things.
That it is true. Very, very two separate things.
Yes.
But there were so understand. Many fantasy yes. managers on Twitter that were upset that,
fantasy managers.
Yeah. That matters. But we got week four pick standings.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
I have hit an ultimate cold streak.
Now, before we get into those, I want to talk a little bit about something with college football.
Okay. What do you got?
Well, I'm sure when you all played too, when you're in high school and stuff, there's always some sort of, a little bit of the business going on down there in the trenches. There's some sort of little, one-upsmanship, kind of thing, right? That's always going on, or jawing or whatever.
Sure.
So, we went up, obviously, to watch the Eastern Kentucky game and watch Brendan cheer on the sidelines, which was great for him. But it was a good game, and Eastern wound up winning, right? There's this stud on defense. I can't remember his name. It was number 7 for Eastern. And near the end of the game, a big ruckus happened, and he about got tossed out. A big unsportsmanlike, so it was going to be, what are you doing, man? Just cool it, whatever. So anyway, furious. Throwing, wanting to just kill people, and people are trying to calm him down on the sideline. Well, come to find out what happened was he got pancake blocked, and that happens. You know, he got pancake, but the guard that pancaked him while he had him down on the ground hawked up a big loogie and spit it right in his face. I said, if that happened to me, and I would have been throwing. You wouldn't have been, I would have just gone completely nuts.
Can you see Pat getting mad?
Oh, I would have been hot.
Pat getting mad would be a sight, because this is the most mild-mannered person that I've ever met in my entire life. He's just so even-keeled. And getting Pat Pohl fired up, that's got to be a sight to see.
How often does that happen?
Not very. But when it does, it's very bad.
Are we talking like maybe 3 times a year?
Maybe 4 times in my life I've been to that. There you go.
Wow. 4 times. I mean, that's me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm even killed all the time.
Watch out, boys. Here comes the lightning now.
Oh, there's another one though. Mike, they channeled I channeled my inner Mike in the stands up there because the running back the kick returner got the kickoff and ran it out toward about 45 or whatever. He was going to break it, and a guy came up to tackle me, horse collared him.
Right.
So, of course, everybody's letting him know. They don't call the play on him, and it gets real quiet. So I tried to do my best, Mike. I said, "You are the worst official I have ever seen." And apparently Brendan said he could hear it on the sideline. That's just awesome. Cracked up.
Nice. That's awesome.
Bottom of the barrel.
I never really realized it till Sammy mentioned it the other day. He's like, "This guy waits to yell till it gets quiet."
Yes,
I'm like,
yes, that's the best.
I do. Wait. I mean, if you can't hear me, why am I yelling?
That's true.
I mean, I don't want to be wasting my breath. I didn't yell that much this last week.
No, you were.
I was even relatively
keeled.
Calm.
Yeah. Even keeled, yeah, Mike Anderson on Friday night.
Yeah, that was great.
But
all right,
because Pat took my juju, I guess.
Yeah, I channeled my mic.
Yeah, you had to give it up.
So let's talk about the week 4 picks. I've hit a cold streak. Derek and Lewis, 7-2. Derek's on a heater.
Yeah, 7-2, back-to-back weeks. I'll take it any day, boys. Look out.
On a heater.
Yep. I'm in the green. I had a positive week for the first time in a long time, which was, with the games, some games getting moved to Thursday. I thought it was interesting. I had one more win on before Friday night even happened than I did 2 weeks ago. So I was going into Friday like
feeling good.
I was
feeling
great.
So Pat was 6-3. Pat's now up to 500 at 18-18. Carson went 5-4, and I had my second week in a row of 4-5. The big news: Derek takes the lead. Derek's 22-14. Lewis and I are 21-15. Pat's 500 at 18-18. Carson's still well below 500 at 15-22. When you only get one a week, it takes a while to get caught back up.
It's going to – I do not see this. It's going to take a second for me. It's going to take a second.
Probably so. So let's talk about the games. Let's talk about them. We had some pretty good games on Thursday, Friday. We'll start with the Tuscola at Swain. Swain the favorite in this one, which was a terrible spread. Terrible. Tuscola wins 42-8. Carson, Pat, Lewis, Derek got this one right. Only one guy missed it. Bartley was 12 of 17, 173 yards, 3 touchdowns, an interception, while Bridger Jones rushed it 5 times for 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. Walker Bolden had 6 tackles. So Tuscola 3-1. So are they that much better?
Have they righted the ship after getting blown out at Asheville High? That's definitely an impressive win. I think they beat Swain by a little bit more than what Franklin beat him by, and Franklin is, supposed to be the real deal this year. So,
yeah. So maybe Tuscola figured it out. Asheville's is a tough first game. You got a new quarterback. So
in week 1 and week 2, I mean, we've talked about it. Even first half of the season, you've got a lot of things you're figuring out going to Swain. I definitely did not expect a score like this.
No, Swain 14.5 point favorite.
Yeah.
So, next up we had Brevard at North Buncombe. North Buncombe getting 49.5 here, and they were able to cover. Final score, Brevard 56, North Buncombe 14. For Brevard, Kessinger was 7-7, 169 and 3 TDs. Running back McAfee was 9 carries for 100 yards and a TD. Wide receiver Dylan Galloway had 3 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. Eli Griffin and Coleman Smith combined for 23 tackles. Those guys getting it done on defense. 56-14 final score.
Yeah, 42 is a lot to A lot to cover. Like 49. So
we got some big spreads this week.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, you listen to those stats and it sounds like the starters didn't play a whole lot or you know, it was a lot of explosive plays. And then North Buncombe obviously is going to get on the field and try and grind out offense. So that defense is going to be out there for a long time. But, you know, that was one thing for me when, you know, you go back and you look at your offensive stats. You want to try and spread the ball around in those blowout games because team morale is a big deal. And if everyone can contribute on offense, you know, it does a lot moving forward.
And Carson Lewis and Derek got this one right. So next up we had West Henderson at Irwin. This was probably the game of the week. We all got it right, though. Carson, Pat, Derek, Lewis, and Mike. No spread. Irwin wins 27-21. Irwin moves to 3-1 while West drops to 2-2. For Irwin, quarterback Caden Engle, 13 of 24 for 253, 3 TDs, and 2 interceptions. He also rushed it for 135 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver Lawson Reynolds had 5 catches for 120 and a TD. He rushed it 3 times for 56 and a TD. He also plays some defense, boys. He had 10 tackles. So, Irwin looking like a team to be reckoned with this year, Pat.
They're clicking on all cylinders, and I don't see that changing. I think they're rolling pretty good up there. You know, and West, you know, I wonder if this game's any different if it's at West as opposed to at Irwin, because, you know, West is maybe down a little bit compared to last year, but they're still, I mean, they're a team to be reckoned with, too.
I think so, too. They're a good team. They've played a pretty tough pre-conference schedule.
This game could have probably gotten out of hand if West wasn't a formidable team. So yeah. I think it's one of those where West, you know, they dropped that game last week. Now they've dropped 2 in a row, I believe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you'll like to see the next couple weeks them get some wins, get some confidence. But like I said, they were right there in this game. I think they got – I don't know what you call that, but an onside kick. They recovered an onside kick late in the game. And Irwin
did you guys see the video? Who sent the video?
Yeah, Carson sent the video.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I think if you talk to Coach Pruitt, you know, he'd like to see him take care of the football. I think you said he threw 2 picks. So obviously if you can eliminate those and, you know, I think in that video, I think it showed West was kicking off from like Irwin's 30.
Yeah.
So obviously some penalties were had, and you'd like to see them close out the game, be a little bit cleaner. So obviously some things to work on from Irwin, but I think they won in spite of themselves on Friday night. Yeah. And I think if they clean it up, they're definitely going to be formidable.
A stretch that we've not really discussed much was we've talked about Asheville's schedule, Reynolds' schedule, obviously Christ School's schedule, but Irwin playing Mountain Heritage, Brevard, and West, and you know those 3 games. That's not 3 slouch opponents right there.
Yeah, if you remember back when the Citizen Time released their best games of the year or whatever, they didn't have Irwin on there, and I mentioned there's 3 that could be really good, and yeah, this really is one of them. Ones. And I misspoke. I meant Irwin rushed as a team for 135 yards, not the quarterback.
Gotcha.
So they're definitely looking to pass first. So, Irwin, I'm telling you, I'm looking for 2 weeks, Irwin-Asheville. I think it's going to tell us a lot about both of them.
Yep.
So, I think we're going to learn a lot about a lot of teams here starting now, too.
Yep, I agree. So next up, and Carson, just so you know, we're going to talk about strength of schedule here in just a minute.
Sounds good.
So next up, we had Hebron at Christ School. Another tough opponent for Christ School. They were getting 29.5, not able to cover. Hebron wins 49-3. Carson Derrick got this one right. For Christ School, Holtzclaw was 11 of 25 for 82 yards and an interception. As a team, they had 54 yards rushing, the lone bright spot. Jordan Edgecombe, 15 tackles, 1 for a loss. So
they were big and fast.
Oh, man.
They were big and fast. It's just when I watched them, what I took from that is that's a team that I would like to see on the same field as like Raven Gap and Providence Day.
For sure. I mean, that was as soon as they took the field on offense, you know, and they ran a jet sweep on the first play and the guy got the edge at the drop of a hat, you were like, holy cow. These dudes can scoot, and you know, Christ School, they want to ground and pound and kind of take the air out of the ball. And you know, obviously, listening to those stats, you know, you had about 130 yards of offense in total.
Yeah,
you're just not going to be successful doing that.
No, it's tough. It's tough. What do you think, Raven Gap, Hebron? Who wins?
I think Raven Gap. Yeah. They got the size.
I think Raven Gap, but I think it's more competitive. I think it's
well, sure.
Yeah, it's a within 2 scores for sure.
Yeah,
100%.
So next up, East Henderson at Owen. This was a heck of a game, guys.
It really was.
Lewis and Mike got this one correctly. Owen was the underdog, getting 12.5. They didn't win the game, but they did cover. East Henderson wins 3-0. East Henderson now 3-1. No stats from Owen. East Henderson only had defensive stats. I can tell you Gabe Jones had 13 tackles, 2 for a loss, and interception. So I know Lewis mentioned Owen may have been in the red zone a couple times, not able to come away with points.
Yeah, yeah. He said, what were they, inside the 10?
Yeah, I think so.
Inside the 5 a couple times.
Yeah,
but
pretty tight.
It looks like they didn't obviously get a field goal. I don't know if they attempted a field goal, but it just – I can tell you right now, looking at this score, I mean, how fast did this game go by?
3-0, man. Can you imagine 3-0? You gotta feel like, as a team who hasn't won a game this year, when you lose 3-0, you've had one slip through your fingers.
Yeah. I mean, that looks like a score of a game that I bet the over on.
3-0.
So
shout out East Henderson, though. You know, winless for a long time, and then
16
winning 3 games.
Yeah. Isn't that 2 years?
I think so.
All it took was them getting right against North Bunker.
Yeah,
and just that's all it took.
Winning 3 in a season, that's a big deal. You know, I mean, you can talk about the strength of the opponents that they won against, but just winning, it's big. Congrats to them.
We'll talk about strength of schedule, but I'm a firm believer that those guys should be playing. Owen, East, Rossman, Inc., those guys should be playing each other.
100%.
Buckham, Madison.
Oh, agree. Absolutely.
Those guys should be playing each other.
Absolutely.
It's only going to... They're not going to learn anything getting blown out by 40 or 50 by a better team. They need to be playing teams they can be competitive with.
Yep.
So next up, we had Hayesville at Pisgah. Pisgah only giving up 13.5 here as the favorite. They went 30-0. We all got it right. Carson, Pat, Lewis, Derek, Mike. Pisgah now 3-1. Aaron Clark led the way for Pisgah, 9-17 for 72 yards. He also rushed it 6 times for 62 yards and a touchdown. Running back Landon Pope, 10 carries, 65 yards, 2 TDs. Has Pisgah righted the ship since losing to Brevard? They're now 3-1.
I mean, when you hold a team to 0 points, I mean, they're obviously...
Hayesville is 0-3.
Yeah, but still. I mean, it's just one of those things that the spread was just 14.5, right?
It was 13.5, yes.
13.5. But it still goes back to Pisgah's got some big games coming up, and they got shut out against Brevard, and now it really makes you wonder, you know, what's Pisgah going to do against those top-tier teams in their, you know, in their conference. So excited to see what, you know, we got some great football. I know we keep harping on that, but great football left to play.
Pisgah, Tuscola, Clicking, West, those three.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes for an exciting Mountain 7.
It does.
Pisgah, Tuscola rivalry game ought to be pretty good again this year too, Mike.
Every year.
It will be, yeah.
So next up, Asheville School at Metrolina. Metrolina, the higher division private school. Asheville School able to win. 48-16, the spread was 27.5, so Asheville School wins and covers. Pat, Lewis, and Derek got this one right. Metrolina now 2-3, while Asheville School's 3-0. Ricky Tolbert led the way. He was 4-6 through the air for 108 yards and a touchdown. He had 2 carries for 12 yards and a touchdown. 8 players... for the team combined, rushed for 163 yards, none over 60, and Gilowitz led the way on defense with 13 tackles. Asheville School Clicking right now, 3-0 as they head into their conference play.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect them to almost put up a 50-burger, but it's like you said, Asheville School, I mean, they're getting confidence, and I think we're going to – the matchup, Asheville School, Christ School in a couple weeks is going to be huge. I mean, it's going to be huge.
2 weeks. Okay. Christ, Asheville School will be the favorite if you look at Max Preps, Simmons Report, and the ACT.
Yeah. I think that's fair right now, especially with if you look at team morale and confidence and stuff, I would say Asheville School going into it. I mean, obviously, Christ School strength of schedule you'll hit on them is, I can't imagine it being on the same even sheet of paper. But it just goes back to that Asheville School probably thinks that they're very good right now.
Yeah, I would say they're the favorite to win the state championship in Division II private school football.
Yeah, well, and they have veteran players too. I mean, Tolbert's been at the helm over there, what, 3 years
this
now?
This is his right? third season at quarterback. Yeah. He was a quarterback at Reynolds for how many seasons? Two seasons at Reynolds.
Yeah. So, and then they had Tobe over there too. Mm-hmm. He's been there for quite a while.
JoJo. And then the kid that's going to Virginia Tech.
Virginia.
Yeah. The linebacker, running back.
Justin Rowe.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Also so runs the ball a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so you got, I guess, 3 or 4 fifth-year senior guys going after it. Good things happen.
Yep.
Oh, definitely.
So, Mike, what do you think? Is Christ School going to be able to handle Asheville School this year or no?
I think so.
You do? Okay.
Good. I mean, it's 15 years in a row, right?
It's like 13 or 12,
yeah.
The difference is the quality of football we're playing against.
100%.
I may be wrong. This may be the year. I know they think it's the year.
They definitely think this is the year. This is the year.
They also thought last year was the year.
Now, last year, Christ School played Metrolina. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. They're in our conference.
Okay. So
Smoked them, didn't you?
Yeah. I was going to say you all blew it out.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You know, we're not good on offense right now. We're not good at all on offense. In fact, I would say we're probably not good on defense either. But I think we're good enough to beat Asheville School, but we'll see.
It'll be exciting.
Yeah. So next up, Hendersonville traveled to Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage now 4-0 after they pick up the win 42-7. 26.5-point spread, so Mount Heritage wins and covers. Pat, Lewis, Mike, Derek got this one correct. Carson, you picked Hendersonville?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I was thinking that Hendersonville would keep it a little closer. Obviously, they did not. I had gotten messages that Mountain Heritage starters were pulled at some point in the second quarter, and I think was halftime 42-0.
Mm-hmm. I believe you were right.
I think that's what I said. So, obviously, they had nothing they could do with Mountain Heritage's offense.
Mountain Heritage may be the favorite currently to win the 1A state championship.
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely flex their muscles Friday night, and they are probably, you know, one of the top five teams in the state in 1A. And, you know, I mean, it kind of goes through Tarboro down there, the home of Todd Gurley, if you're a NFL Georgia fan. But, yeah, I think they're definitely favorites, and they showed why on Friday night.
I think they are expecting a deep, deep run. And I think that if they're not playing for a state championship, I think they will tell you this season is a failure.
Do you feel like they're a Reynolds type team where they always expect a deep run?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I think so too.
But I think I would say the difference is with their kids getting older and older, and this is the one where they're now expecting the state championship. This is like so I'll take my statement. If they do not win a state championship, I think that they will say that this season wasn't what it could have been. I'm not going to say it wasn't a success, but you know, I think they are wanting to host a trophy at the end of the year.
I probably should have done my homework. Has Mount Heritage won a state championship recently, Derek? Do you remember?
I don't believe so. I think when they were 2A, they got beat by the monster that is Reedsville.
Yeah.
I know when they went in 09, I think they lost when Reynolds won. I know it was a big deal because they played that Friday night and Reynolds played on the Saturday. I don't know that they've won one. I know they've gotten close, been to a few in the last couple decades.
Yeah. They're a good team out there.
Indeed.
So next up, the Reynolds traveling to Watauga. This is the one Pat picked. I mean, he knew what was going to happen.
W. Pat.
So
his son did say L. Pat pregame on the Instagram page.
Indeed. So
did he call and say anything about this?
No, he didn't call and say anything about this. But okay. it had it to do it all over again. You clown heads were not going to pick C. Reynolds. Which one of you guys would have honestly? Were you really?
I was.
I want to lay it out there for the folks. Pat and Derek not here last week. They both text me their pick. They were going to pick Reynolds. Lewis had also said he was going to pick Reynolds. This is true. Carson can back this up. I asked Lewis to pause it, and I asked Carson if he would pick Reynolds, and I told him
I was about to pick Watauga.
I also probably would have picked Watauga.
I was picking Watauga right before I did, and so we may or may not have cut that part out.
Yeah, so we paused it. We all decided to pick Reynolds just so you one to pick Watauga.
I said, hell, this won't be the first pick I got wrong.
Scoreboard that was blown up. You all are miserable people, all of you.
I can't wait for you to go back for your first game after.
I'm sure I'm going to hear about it.
So a few stats from the game. Hemric, who committed to Virginia today.
Yeah. Big news. Big news. Congrats to him.
Wahoo wah.
Eli Hemric, 13 of 23 for 148 yards and a touchdown. He rushed it six times for 46 yards and two touchdowns. Max had five carries for 15 yards, three catches for 10 yards. Guest Dickey, say the linebacker's name.
Angulo.
They all three had four tackles. So Max leads the team in tackles with four. I got to ask, Max Guest had eight touches. Is that enough? Is that enough for Max, for Reynolds to win football games?
I mean, it's obviously something's not enough for them to, I mean, I would say even to be competitive. Something's not happening for them to be competitive. And because this is not, this, the score, I think, looks closer than it was.
They scored two in the fourth, I think, on backups, 48-7 going in the fourth quarter.
41-7 going in the fourth.
I'm sorry, 41.
Thank you, Derek. 41-7 going into the fourth. But Max having five carries, I mean, I'm not saying he's got to run it 40 times. And I know the offensive line's not great. I'm sure Reynolds is trying everything they can to put them in the best position to win. But you'd have to imagine when you go to Boone, where Max Guest is playing, supposed to be playing college football, he's going up there as a running back, and he carries the ball five times. It's like that's
he had eight touches. He had five carries. The quarterback had six carries.
And how many of those are scrambles? You know, how many of those are called runs?
You think it's scrambles, or is it read options?
Could be both. You know, I mean, both are a definite possibility. But without watching the game, you know, it sounds like, you know, Watauga's a ball control offense. They're going to stay out there and grind on you for however long they can. And, you know, teams get frustrated with that. You get down a couple and you feel like, God, if I don't score here, they're going to hold on to the ball for the entire third quarter. You know, and then we're going into the fourth quarter down three touchdowns. And so if you get behind the chains, if you don't complete those passes on, you know, first and 10, second and long, you know, it can snowball on you in a hurry. And you have to throw the football when you're down. You know, I mean, especially when you're playing a team like Watauga. So if you get down early and you know, I mean, things will snowball and you just got to do what you got to do and not really care who gets touches. But obviously you would like to see, you know, Max be a little more involved.
I mean, you got to think, Robertson loses to Watauga 14-0. Reynolds gives up 48.
48.
So it's like, you. I mean, I know.
Is Robertson that much better?
I don't think
it's
two different styles of offense. So I don't think that is, because I think if we remember last year, the similar thing happened.
I think they both lost by one.
But they were both completely different games. One was like a 70 or 80 point game.
It was like 36-35 and then like 21-20 or something like that.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm here to say I think Reynolds has got a perfect get right week. And you know, I think that winning will probably cure some things. Will probably cure a lot of things, but they're going to be tested. I think it's clear and evident they will probably have another test this year before the season's over.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's the playoffs.
Oh, okay. So they will not be Irwin tested. Mike? Okay.
The playoffs.
Well, I think they will be tested before the playoffs.
Now, I've seen the East Forsyth game and the West Forsyth game, obviously calling them up in the press box.
So you only like Forsyth teams?
Well, I don't have anything to say about it. But what I can say about both of those schools is their front line on defense were ginormous people and very athletic, and they could move. And, you know, they just were able to penetrate at will and just...
That's who Christ School plays
roll,
every week.
Hamrick was forced to roll a lot.
Ginormous people that can penetrate.
And then you rewind 2 years ago what Max Guest did on the field. Right. I mean, if he's coming back as a defensive coordinator, certainly in these early games, I don't think anybody anticipated him being spread out in the slot as much as he has been. But don't you think as a defensive coordinator going into these earlier games, you've got to basically build a plan to deal with that?
Oh, 100%.
In which case, as an offensive coordinator for Reynolds, you know that going in. You had Ty Patterson, who obviously did a great job last year. You got Hamrick, who can throw the ball a little bit. You know, do you do these things to try and sort that out in these early games before you get to conference play?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great thought. I mean, if you make defense to say, okay, where's five at? You know, I got to find five because he's not going to beat me. You know, if he's in the backfield, they're going to stack the box. If he's out wide, you know, maybe he's double covered, you know. That's, you know, for them to decide. Dude,
they're only getting it to 5-8 times a game. So,
well,
it's like,
I mean, is that, you know, the way that the defense is aligned? I mean, you're not going to sit there and for lack of a better word, and pardon my French, but you're not going to sit there and piss into the wind and say, I'm going to feed Max, you know, regardless of whatever's going to happen and just get my teeth kicked in.
But trying to find a way to get him the ball somewhere.
Yeah,
somehow?
Yeah. I mean, you can, but at what point is it okay? I've got to get Max the ball versus, you know, trying to run an offense successfully that is going to build you for success over the long haul. Versus, you know, I mean, they started out 1-3 last year. Arguably, yeah. They're probably the best 1-3 team in the state. Oh, I would say right now, especially in 3A. And I would argue that any team in the MAC, had they played that schedule, they're 0-4. You know, and the wheels are falling off.
At best, 1-3, but probably you're probably right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And something else I noticed in the West game for sure, West got out a little bit on top, right? And when Reynolds got back on offense, they're obviously trying to make a drive. They get stopped. It's like third and long, about midfield time frame, that kind of thing. But you could see that West had a pretty good handle on the game at that point. That was when they spread Max out to the slot, to the receiver position, and you see the defense come up to the line, and then the coach immediately calls timeout as Reynolds was getting ready to get a delay game penalty because they were so worried about Max getting behind that defense and Hamrick just heaving one.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
And you look at the Shelby game, you know, and I saw Eli post a couple highlights on Twitter, and, you know, some other skill guys posted their touchdowns, and you know, I kind of looked at it, and Max is in the backfield. They're cover zero, so no safety help in the middle field. They got guys stacked in the box like crazy. And Eli made them bleed, and the wide receivers made them bleed. They turned a 5-yard completion or a 10-yard completion into a 60, 70-yard touchdown. And if that's what teams are going to do, that's what Reynolds has to do to be successful.
But that's the one anomaly where Reynolds scored 50 points.
Right,
the
exactly.
The other three, they have not been able to really click right. offensively.
Yeah, and can they get it going? And like Carson said, this is the week to do it. You know,
they're going to get it going.
You take your frustrations out and announce your presence with some authority on Friday night and say, here we are, boys.
Yes.
Stop it.
In my opinion, Max gets plenty of carries this week. Yeah. He has over 100 yards. Eli has plenty of throws.
Yeah.
He has probably over 300 yards. It's North Buncombe.
Yeah.
They're going to win by probably 50 points. And everybody will forget the first four games.
I'm telling you guys, winning cures all.
It does.
And it's one of those things that – who do they play the second week after North Buncombe?
Let me look.
But it goes back to that I just – you know, I as a spectator, you would like to see – you know, we can always sit here and say, oh, you know, what would happen if Max would have touched the ball more. If they have no protection, who they got?
Inca.
Okay, so they're going to have two weeks that they're just going to get 100 points. And I'm telling you guys, the attitudes in Fairview will be a little bit different.
Everybody will forget about
in
the first
2 weeks versus what it was this morning.
Yeah, and then the schedule sets up kind of wonky for them. Obviously, you got the two there, the North Buncombe Inca, and then you play the three dogs that are coming for you in Asheville, Irwin, and Robertson in that order.
And then you got McDowell.
And then McDowell at the end.
But at least they got a little 2 week. I mean, they can get guys rest. They can, plenty of confidence, plenty of morale.
Yeah, bye week sprinkled in
the
there.
The real loser in this is North Buncombe because we'll get to the pick. But unfortunately, I'm just being honest. Unfortunately, Reynolds is probably pissed off, and this could get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will quickly, but if it doesn't, and we start to see some other offensive issues, then, you know, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. So we want to announce our player of the week, Carson.
Yes, we do. We're going to go with, speaking of Reynolds, we're going to go with Lawson Reynolds.
It's Pat's favorite Irwin player.
It is Pat's favorite Irwin player. Pat,
I see what you did there.
Pat selected him. And we all agreed very much so. He had 5 catches for 120 yards and 1 touchdown receiving. He had 3 rushes for 56 yards on the ground with a touchdown. And then it looked like he also had 10 tackles and played some on the defense as well. So I saw Irwin had posted, it just said that Lawson was gone again. So it looked like he broke a couple loose and West did not have an answer for him. So Lawson Reynolds.
Yeah, and we want to apologize to Milky Ray last week. If we misspelled your first name, we apologize. We got it off of
Max Preps.
Max Preps.
Which your coach's post.
We do so apologize.
That's on your coaches, Milky.
We apologize.
It is. I mean,
Irwin 2 weeks in a row. This is our first back-to-back school, same school, but not a lot of big performances out there from the other guys. So congratulations to Lawson Reynolds. So we've touched on this a little bit. So conference play for most teams starts this week. In the MAC, is Reynolds still your favorite?
I think so. Yeah. I think they're the top dog for sure.
You can't pick anybody else until someone dethrones them.
Yeah, I said that last year.
You did.
That was me.
Yeah, that was you, and it's true.
And I agree. It's
What about Irwin? They have shown offensively they can put up some points. Can they play enough defense to beat Reynolds? Reynolds struggling on offense a little bit right now. So can Irwin slow him down enough
I'm telling you, when you go up and when you play Reynolds, it's different. I can only imagine when you go play Reynolds, it's different. So I'm not saying that Irwin doesn't have a chance, but that Irwin, I mean, this is going to play. They've never felt that. These athletes at Irwin have not felt them beating a victory. So they're going to have to learn how to beat Reynolds. They're going to have to show that they can beat Reynolds.
Where's Reynolds' game at? Reynolds Irwin at this year? The other team is TC. If they get clicking, you know, they're looking better too.
It's at Irwin. Irwin's a tough place to play. You know, everything's kind of on top of you there. No, they don't have the track around there.
It'll be a big. It'll definitely be packed out.
It'll be packed.
In my opinion, that's the conference championship game. Right now, October 11th, that's the conference championship game. And, you know, Robertson and Asheville may have something to say about that. And, you know, they play, you know, the week before. I think Asheville-Irwin is the week before that.
Yes. Irwin's got those three back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? But in my opinion, Reynolds is the top dog. I mean, like Carson said, the only team to beat Reynolds within the league in the last, 10 years is Asheville.
It's Asheville.
That 5-3 win.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And that was Pat's fault.
Yeah. Well, how was it my fault?
I don't know. I just figured it was.
No, it's probably my fault, but it's okay. My bad. I think Reynolds is still the top dog.
And I also think some Asheville listeners may want some of the dog in the fight for this as well. I think Asheville thinks that they've got a very, very good team. They dominated Tuscola. They played a very tough schedule. Their game against Providence Day didn't happen. But Asheville, I mean, there's still a lot to learn about this Asheville team.
I mean, they're good for three quarters. It's the fourth quarter I worry about with Asheville.
Yep.
Yeah, depth is definitely an issue.
Depth is definitely.
I mean,
which right now it's becoming an issue for
a lot of teams.
A lot of teams. 100%. It's definitely an issue. If Max Guess is playing both ways,
yeah.
I mean, fourth quarter is going to be difficult.
So I read on the message boards, as I'm sure you guys did too, someone brought up the point Reynolds may be feeling the hit of losing some transfers. You know, they've got a couple in, but they've probably lost, what, six or seven in the last couple?
Yeah, if not more.
You think they're starting to feel that a little bit? You know, in the past, they could just kind of next man up. It seems like they're running a little thinner this year than most. Pat, you've seen them firsthand. What do you think?
Well, I think Carson's point's well taken. You know, the other thing, too, is, you know, Coach Craig had a ton of graduation, some real talent. I mean, you get some people up, next man up. I get that, but you know, that can be a tall order, and they're, you know, having to grow up that quickly because they had that group out there playing together. Heck, what Brandon and Christian Lewis, I think both played as freshmen on varsity, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
On the defensive
Imagine
side of the ball.
If you could put Skanes and Zion out there on the edge. I mean, you wouldn't need a safety.
Right, and Skanes would have been graduated had he stayed in public school.
He did reclass last year. Okay.
Not the younger Skanes.
No, EMA. I forgot about M.A. Yes, M.A. Would be a senior this year.
So, dang. That'd be tough.
You know, M.A., you got Zion, who started for him last year.
Yep.
There's some guys out there that could have, I think, could have.
And I think in the past, I think Reynolds is all, because I think Reynolds is like always gotten a few guys over there, but I also don't think they've lost as, like, it's not normal for them to lose as much as they have in their last several years.
And I know they got two in this year. I may be wrong, right? They got the Asheville kid and a Brevard kid. any others? And
obviously, Eli is
Eli, is of course.
That's is the Asheville I kid though? Is the Asheville kid that one was the one that was at Robertson?
I don't know. His last name's Keeter.
Wide receiver.
Yeah, okay. He can scoot.
Yeah. So
very good wide receiver. So what about the Mountain Seven? West Henderson, Pisgah, Tuscola.
Yeah,
who's the favorite to win that one?
You know, Franklin is the top dog probably right now. They're very good. You know, we don't talk about them a whole lot because they're kind of tucked away down there in the far end of the state next to Georgia. But they've beaten the dogs in 1A. You know, they beat Murphy, Robbinsville, who Lewis loves, and Swain County. So, you know, any of those three teams, you know, could compete in the Mountain Seven probably. And I think Franklin's definitely setting the tone to win the ship there.
What do you think, Pat? Who's going to win the Mountain Seven?
Well, you know, I mentioned it earlier. West may be down a little bit, but they're good. I still think they're the team to beat, and I think they're going to, you know, they're coming off the loss against Irwin. They're going to be pretty fired up, I think, you know, to get something done to make a statement Friday night as well.
Carson, who are you taking in the Mountain Seven?
I think Pisgah. I'm just going to go with Pisgah. I think Pisgah gets the – I think they push the right buttons. I don't know why. I just – gut says Pisgah. Probably wrong, but that's who I'm picking.
I also think it's Pisgah. You have a very experienced quarterback.
Yeah.
He's surrounded by some guys who have been there a while, and I think Pisgah is the team that wins it this year. Traditionally, Pisgah, one of the top two in that conference. So I think they win the conference this year. So that's just me.
It's a great pick, Mike.
Thanks. I appreciate it. So
you guys want to hold hands too while you're at it?
We are under the table. You just can't see it. So next up, let's talk about something we talk about every year. We haven't talked about it yet this year. Strength of schedule. Carson, can you pick the top five strength of schedule in Western North Carolina?
I definitely can.
Go ahead.
That's easy. I'm going to go with Christ School.
Okay.
Okay. Reynolds.
Okay.
Asheville High.
Okay.
Irwin.
All right.
And then number five, I'm going to go with Lord, it can't be Robertson. Brevard.
That's a good pick. You know, playing that Knoxville Catholic team.
Knoxville Catholic had to help.
Pat, what do you think in top five?
I'm going to echo that. I don't have anything to change in that order.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's pretty spot on there. I mean,
come on, talk to me.
He knows ball.
I know ball.
Well, you weren't totally right. Reynolds is number one in 13. They played the toughest strength of schedule.
I did out of order, but keep going.
Christ School was second. They have the 38th. Brevard, 57. This is before last week. Brevard, 57. Toughest schedule in North Carolina. TC's number four at 63. Mm. East Rutherford's a much better team this year.
Much improved, obviously.
They have some clout to them this year. Asheville, number five. They have the 135th toughest schedule.
Okay.
So Reynolds.
Where was Irwin? Do you know?
Irwin was not in there.
Reynolds, Christ School, Brevard, TC, Asheville, top five. Irwin, 6, 151. West Henderson, next at 168. Asheville School, 220. 220.
Mm.
220.
Out of how many? Like
a lot.
3 something?
220?
4 something?
No, it's 4 something. Tuscola, 239. Pisgah, 242. They're close in everything. ADMs, records, everything. 242. Owen, 296. The worst schedule in West North in this area.
But we are pulling for Owen. I would like.
Yes, North Buncombe, 387.
387?
387. I didn't. And I apologize. I don't have Incas on here, but North Buncombe, 387.
Oof.
Owens is 296.
Well, at least for North Buncombe, the one bright side, the one thing that will get better in the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks, it will be their strength
schedule. What is strange is North Buncombe's strength schedule will go up, but Reynolds will go down.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that was always the knock and kind of why you play those first four games of the dogs. You want to find it out and get that strength schedule up. So, you know, if God forbid something were to happen in conference, you know, you have those four games to lean back on.
Still can get the at-large. Yeah.
Do you think Reynolds non-conference is too hard?
No.
No.
No?
No. It's where they want to be, and that's who they measure themselves against. They want to compete for a state championship every year, and each of those four teams is going to compete for a state championship.
The answer is definitely emphatically no, because it's the same reason Mike is so confident Christ School is going to beat Asheville School. It's definitely not from what's actually transpired on the field.
No.
Is that right?
No, you're right. It's been a tough year. But we've also played the 38th toughest schedule. But that's what I'm saying. But like,
so I think the same thing goes for Reynolds. I think Reynolds is, I don't think Reynolds needs the, I don't, I mean, who could they play? I don't know what non-conference they could play that it would be, that wouldn't be 40 or 50 point spread.
Here's the other thing for Reynolds. They probably face a similar thing as Christ School. Teams around here don't want to play them.
That's what, yeah.
They don't want to lose by 50. They don't want to look bad.
It would almost have to get to a college type situation where like Reynolds would probably have to pay to find games.
If they had to play a team.
If they had to play. I mean, I don't think they could. I do not think they could get a team in Western North Carolina to play them.
And it would not be. They could, but they don't want to play them. And most of the games they could get would not be competitive.
Yes.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just don't see. It's like those teams. I mean, what would Owen. I mean, I don't think Owen's agreeing to play.
That used to be a great game. It used to be. Yeah,
it used to be. You know,
Derek yelling across the field at Coach Padgett was fantastic.
Well.
Yeah.
But it's just not a rivalry game anymore.
I was yelling back.
until I'm proved otherwise, it's just I think the strength of schedule is a good thing.
I agree with you 100%.
I think it helps prepare you.
But, you know, you see people upset, you know, why are we playing these tough
Fairview,
four games?
Fairview's very upset. And I think everybody in Reynolds is well aware that there's a lot of upset people right now.
You know, and
the coaches are probably upset. They don't want to play. They don't want to get blown off the field.
No, they don't. And obviously, these are all winnable games. You know, I think if you ask Reynolds, you know, they are winnable games where they didn't execute how they were supposed to, how they planned. You know, and
Shane Laws does not go into a game that he does not expect.
Nobody does. And you know, I mean, I hate to be a little crass, but who cares what the fans think?
Right.
You know, I mean,
that's probably needs to be said.
It is their job to get their team ready to play, and if somebody doesn't like it, who gives a rip? Yep. You know,
I agree. That's well said, Derek.
I think Reynolds proved
from a former coach.
Reynolds proved last year 1-3, same where they are right now. And then where do they get in the playoffs?
They lost to Hickory, the eventual state champion.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, obviously the scores were closer last year. You know, they lost a couple 1-point games and within a touchdown. But, I mean, you're still 1-3 is 1-3, you know.
By the end of the year, you'll have to go back and look and, like, remember what the scores
were. But I would 100% put everything that I had right now that East Forsyth is going to be at least in the state semifinal in 4A. You know, Watauga is going to be right there in 4A. I think they're still 4A. So obviously they're up the creek without a paddle a little bit just from a depth issue. But they will give anybody the business that comes calling up the mountain. And West Forsyth is the same way. Shelby is still Shelby, you know, until proven otherwise. So
real quick, let's go over the power rankings. This from the Asheville Citizen Times. Number 1, Mount Heritage. 2, Franklin. 3, Irwin. 4, Brevard. 5, Asheville School. 6, Asheville High. 7, Pisgah. 8, Murphy. 9, Reynolds. 10, Mitchell. So if you ask the ACT, Reynolds will be finishing 4th in the MAC.
I don't see that happening.
Neither do I. The high school OT, the 828 rankings. Number 1, Hickory. Number 2, Watauga. Number 3, Mount Heritage. 4, Asheville School. 5, T.C. Robertson. 6, Irwin. 7, Asheville. 8, Franklin, which Derek mentions having a nice season. 9, Reynolds. 10, Christ School. Thoughts on those?
I mean, and high school OT also has Reynolds finishing.
Yeah.
4th in the MAC as well.
I mean, this is probably... I guess it's like what a power ratings for right now.
Yeah, and it's almost you know, the old trite saying of overreaction Monday.
Oh, right.
You know, it's overreaction to that 1-3. They're going to be favored against every team in the MAC, including the 3 that are ranked above them in both polls. So, you know, and it's settled between the lines, and it'll work itself out, and Reynolds will be back to a top 5 in the ranking in no time.
And for people that were wondering about how they will be favored, that is from the Simmons ratings as well, that we do not come up with these off the top of our head.
Right. All right, guys, let's talk about this week. Are you ready?
I am. We got some big numbers out there.
Ooh, I'm gonna get my picks out.
Big numbers. You need to have yours and Lewis's
picks.
Oh,
that's right. I am.
You need to write them down?
I'm good. I got it.
Let's just pick them out of a hat for Lewis.
Oh, we will. Yeah, I got my hat right here. I'll take it off.
That's how Carson does it. I can't believe we deleted that soundbite. He just picks them out of a hat. All right. So first up, rivalry game. Rivalry game. We got a couple of these. North Henderson 2-1 travels to West Henderson 2-2. North Henderson, they've lost to Hendersonville 20-7. They beat Rosman 44-0. They beat Owen 36-6. West Henderson, we've talked about them 2-2. They beat Hendersonville 35-19, where North Henderson lost. West Henderson's a 21-point favorite. Of course, they're led by their offense. 21 points for West given up to North. What do you think, Carson?
I think West Henderson, we've mentioned their schedule that they've started out playing. They've lost two straight. I think that they really come out and want to make a statement. So I have West Henderson covering this game.
I probably should have mentioned last year West wins this game 44-0. But both these teams very different from last year.
Very different. But I think Cade's gonna get some confidence at quarterback. I think Zane's gonna probably have his way running the ball. I think West is gonna want to come out. It's at home on Friday night. They're gonna want to come out and show everybody that they're still they definitely can be up there at the top of their conference.
All right, Derek.
I think I'm going to echo what Carson said. I think West wins and covers. You know, I think they win big, probably by 28 plus. The ground game for West Henderson, just too much for North Henderson to handle.
Who'd Lewis take?
Lewis took North Henderson, so he thinks the exact opposite of both Carson and I.
Lewis probably forgot that the 27 seniors graduated.
That got away from him.
100%.
Pat?
21.5 is not enough. West Henderson gets this job done. They're going to come out and make a statement. And I think they're, to Carson's point, they're going to want to show that they're still definitely a dog in Western North Carolina.
Is this the West Henderson that lost to Murphy or the West Henderson that lost to Irwin by 6?
Yeah.
That's
such Jekyll and Hyde.
Yep.
It's at home. I guess I'm going to take West here. I'm going to take West.
Lewis saving the graphic. Thank you, Lewis.
We should just do Lewis's picks for him. Next up, McDowell 1-3 traveling to TC conference game here. McDowell lost to RS Central, Mitchell, and Tuscola. They're scoring 29 a game and giving up 31. TC coming off a bye week. And last year, TC wins this game 48-0. Derek? Does TC win by more than 49? God, that's a lot of points.
It's too many, boys. And 49, 42 is a lot to cover and keep it there. But 49, just far too much. I think, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. McDowell scores enough to keep it close, keep it within. Obviously, you know, they may get running clocked, but I think they get some garbage time scores to keep it close.
48 last year. They just need one more.
That's all they need.
Pat?
Yeah, I don't know enough about this one, but I am just going to take TC here, and I'm going to see that they cover the 49.5 points.
Lewis?
Lewis is going with McDowell.
He's the TC guy. He can't take McDowell?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with McDowell as well. I think that if McDowell gets in the end zone one time, it's very hard to cover that number.
I don't think McDowell gets in the end zone, and I think TC covers.
Good job, Mike. Way to go.
So next up, guys, we have the battle for Cookout on Patton Avenue.
What a big game.
It's a rivalry game.
Game of the week is what some are saying.
Winner gets a big double burger tray.
Ooh.
Irwin 3-1 heading to Inca. 2-1. Inca's 2-1. Now, they did beat Owen and Rosman and lost to Pisgah. They're scoring 38 a game while giving up 19. Irwin, they've had a tough couple weeks. They played some tough teams, have come out on top. Do they take a breath here? I'm not sure. Irwin scoring 41 while giving up 24 against some much tougher opponents. Last year, Irwin wins this game 49-16. Inca getting 39 points. Pat?
Irwin's going to come out and get this done, and they're going to cover. I've no doubt.
I also think Irwin comes out and covers. Right now, I think Irwin on a heater, and they're just going to keep pounding away. Lewis took who?
Lewis went with Irwin.
All right, Derek.
Carson saved the graphic for us because I'm going Irwin as well. I think they are on the heater, like Mike said. I think they clean a lot of things up, and they take out Inca pretty big on Friday night.
Gosh, I
just take them. It's
fun. I do. I'm gonna go Inca here.
What?
Indeed. Wow. Trying to pick up that game.
I've got to try and pick up a game somehow.
Here's the only saving grace, I think. Irwin's played a very tough non-conference.
You said taking a break. Maybe
they get up a few touchdowns.
They had a very emotional game against West. Probably a very emotional game against Brevard.
Maybe they rest
Mountain
some guys.
Heritage, very because emotional game.
Irwin's got the big three coming up in the next three weeks.
Oh.
So they have Asheville next week. Maybe they rest some guys.
Mike, why didn't you say this before we picked? Because you swayed me so much. But I'm sticking to my guns.
If you want to switch to Inca, we'll let you do it.
Nope, I'm sticking to my guns. First, I'm too easily swayed. I had this conversation with Carson on Saturday. I'm the last person to speak is the one who gets my vote. But I'm sticking to my guns and going with Irwin.
I hope that's not in the presidential race as well. So next up, we have Christ School at Providence Day. Christ School, of course, 1-3, taking on Providence Day, 3-1. Providence Day's only loss to Weddington in a close one. Providence Day scoring 36 while giving up 14. They're led by David Sanders, their UT commit lineman, and their quarterback. Of course, Loft is committed to Carolina. He throws for 269 a game. He has 10 TDs and only throwing one interception. Christ School only scoring 14 a game while giving up 36. Last year, Providence Day wins 59-21. Christ School getting 40 in this one. Boys, who did Lewis pick?
Lewis went with Providence Day.
And we might want to talk just a minute about his name, Keandre.
Harrison,
the kid that went back to Reidsville. Evidently, you can transfer to a private school and leave mid-season as long as you go back to your home school.
They said there was no exchange in NIL money. Money did not exchange hands, and I'm not buying that for a second. Why did he go there?
He was already a five-star. It doesn't make much sense.
They said in an interview, they said that they wanted to go there for better coaching was one.
Ooh.
Yeah, so hopefully the Reidsville staff didn't see that. And two was to play against better competition in practice and in the games.
I mean, there is some good competition there. I do think Providence stayed down a little bit this year. Listen, they're still a fantastic team, but I don't think they're the level they were last year. I think Raven Gap does take care of it. But anyway, they play, but that's not the game we're talking about. Christ School getting 40. Lewis took Providence Day. Pat?
Providence Day.
Okay. Carson.
Providence Day.
Okay. Derek.
Providence Day.
Well, I'll pick up the game. We'll keep it within 40, surely. So I'll take Christ School on this one. And so next out of the gate, we have Drawn. Usually have been a power the last couple years at Owen. Drawn struggling a little bit. They're only 2-2 this year. They're scoring 22 a game while giving up 24. Last year, they beat Owen 38-0. Owen 4, of course. Owen's struggles have been offensively. They're only scoring 6.5 while giving up 30, only 3 in the last game. Owen getting 29 here. What does Lewis think?
Lewis, being the Owen guy that he is, he did take Owen.
Derek?
This is a tough one for me. I think Owen kind of proved me wrong a little bit. They hung in there and kind of erase some of the doubts that I had about them to stay in a close ball game. I'm going to ride them. I'm going to go Owen to cover the 29. Drawn lost to a really bad Eastburg team that was without their head coach. So I think Owen hangs in there.
I think Owen keeps it close through three quarters. They run out of gas in the fourth, and Drawn pulls away and wins by more than 29. I'm going to take Drawn. Carson?
I'm going to go with Drawn as well. I think that this little emotional letdown game just from this last game slipping away. So I think that, although I would like to echo everything that Lewis has been saying, and obviously they've got some improvements and good things going on, but it's the second half and the numbers and fatigue and whatnot. So I'm going to go with Drawn.
Pat, you can break the tie here.
I'm going to ride Western North Carolina and go with Owen.
Drawn is North Carolina.
They're not as west.
They're exit 113.
Yes, they are. I know.
113.
They are. Yeah, it's out there near Valdez or something.
Usually it's 113, but there's no bridge, so you got to get up at 112 and drive around. But
isn't that where the racetrack is too, Mike?
Tri-County, yes. Yes, so Pat takes Owen. All right. Next, we have a battle of unbeatens in here in Asheville. The Mountain View Prep Stars, one of Derek's favorite teams out of Spartanburg, heading up here to take on Asheville School. The Mountain View Prep Stars are from Spartanburg, like I said. They're scoring 54 a game while giving up 12.5. They beat ACA, not the one in Swannanoa, Southside Christian, St. Joe's Catholic, not the one in New Jersey, and Crescent. They're led by their quarterback, Drummond, who throws for 229 a game. He's thrown 9 touchdowns. Their running back, McGill, rushes for 121 a game and 6 TDs. And their wide receiver, Hansworth, 124 receiving yards a game, and he has 8 touchdowns on the year. Asheville School 3-0. They're scoring 46 a game. They're only giving up 7. This should be a high-scoring game, in my opinion. Asheville School giving the Mountain View Prep Stars 21. Pat, do the Mountain View Prep Stars win this game?
No.
No. Do they cover?
I think Asheville School wins, and they'll cover.
All right. Who did Lewis pick?
Lewis is going with Asheville School.
Okay.
I pick on the wrong side every time.
Okay.
So
the wrong side of what? Like you get out of the bed on
Asheville
the wrong
School.
Side?
No, Asheville School. I can pick them. I lose it. If I pick against them, if I fail.
Hey, at least you didn't pick them and they lost by, or they won by 40 when you picked against them. Who did that? I can't remember.
That would be me.
Oh, that's right. That's Derek.
Derek's dog of the week.
That was his dog of the week. Yeah. I'm going to go with Asheville School here.
Derek?
I don't know who the Mountain View Prep Stars are. I don't know where they're from other than Spartanburg. I didn't even know it was a school until about an hour and a half ago. So Asheville School minus the 21. I love it. Bet the house on it.
I'm also going to take Asheville School. I have not heard of the Mountain View Prep Stars. Listen, I have not heard of everything.
Sounds like a travel girls basketball team.
Wow. Wow.
It really does.
Does it not?
It really does.
I bet their uniforms are so cute.
They're playing at Bob Lewis on Saturday.
100%. You know they practice at JBL.
Yeah, 100%.
The soccer fields.
Wow.
Oh, man. So next up could be a pretty close game here. Pisgah 3-1, traveling to Smoky Mountain 2-2. Pisgah's only lost to Brevard, and they've only given up 14 total in the 3 wins Pisgah has. Smoky Mountain, they beat Cherokee and Swain. They lost to TC and Murphy. They're led by running back Aiden Johnson, 218 yards a game. Smoky Mountain getting 10.5. So what do you think, Pat?
I'm going to go with Pisgah. I like the Landon Pope variable there and their quarterback. I think they're going to get it done.
Smoky Mountain's one of those teams that just kind of hangs around, makes it tough. What do you think?
Pisgah big. Clip it.
That confident, are you?
That confident makes me want to pick the other way.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Go ahead, Derek.
Dang it. My confidence just went down.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me Smoky Mountain.
Give me the Bears. Give me Ricky going back. I love it.
I mean,
take it to him, boys.
Yes, take it to him. He's going to put as many as he can. The starters are not coming out.
No. Run it. What's the old remember the Titans quote? Run it up, Herman.
Run it
up. Leave no doubt. And Pisgah leaves no doubt Friday night.
I'm not going to help y'all. I'm also taking Pisgah.
Ooh.
I think
you're asking me to go first every time.
I'll go first. I think Pisgah is the team. I already said Pisgah is the team to beat the Mountain 7.
I agree. Me and you both.
So next up, Dobbins-Bennett, 3-1, coming to Asheville to take on Asheville. Last year, Dobbins-Bennett beats Asheville 41-16. Dobbins-Bennett, they beat West Ridge, Jefferson County, and Farragut. I may be saying it wrong. They lost to Greenville, Tennessee. They've had some close games. They're only scoring 27 a game while giving up 20. If Asheville only played 3-quarter games, they'd be 2-0, Carson. I'll go first since you don't want to. I'm taking Asheville getting 17. I'm going to take Dobbins-Bennett to win this one.
Wow.
Do you want to go next? Do you want me to choose someone else?
I'm going to go with the Cougars.
The Cougars.
It's time.
I thought you had a pick against
them. I'm not. Oof. Nope. It's over. I've done giving y'all a hellacious lead, and so I'm coming back now. Cougars.
All right. Cougars.
I'm
going to
say spread. I'm not saying money line yet. spread.
So doesn't Dobbins Bennett have like corporate box seats and basically a
huge
an SEC stadium?
They're out of Kingsport, Tennessee.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Dobbins Bennett.
Who did Lewis take?
Lewis took Asheville.
All right. Carson or Derek, you get to break the tie.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I watched the replay of the game a couple weeks ago where Asheville just hung in there, man. They looked really good. Hung in there for the first half. I think they were even leading at the half last year, and then just kind of the wheels fell off. And I think the Cougs right the ship. Give me the Cougs to cover. I don't know that they went outright. Obviously, it's a winnable game for them that they think, you know, they're going to come out on top Friday night. I think the Hillier kid in the middle makes some plays for them on defense and gives them a chance to win at the end.
So next up, the last game we have of the week, North Buncombe 2-2 heading to Reynolds to take on Reynolds. Reynolds 1-3. North Buncombe getting 49.5. 49.5. North Buncombe beat Owen and Madison, but lost to East Henderson and Brevard. Reynolds scoring 25 a game while giving up 34. This is conference play, boys. This is just what the doctor ordered for Reynolds, but can they score enough? Carson, I know you don't want to go first. Who did Lewis take?
Lewis took North Buncombe to cover the 49.5.
What? I thought he was taking Reynolds. Lewis,
I thought he was a Reynolds guy.
Yeah, but, he was.
You know, obviously, you know, he's ye of little faith is what they say. So
he must have fallen and hit his head. That's why he's not here today.
He must have.
Pat, does Reynolds score? Does Reynolds win by more than 49.5?
Without a doubt. I have no doubt they're going to have it together. I think it's going to be a multifaceted attack. I don't think it's just going to be the Max show or the Eli show. I think you're going to see offensive production from Tyven, from Max, from Hamrick, from Keeter. It's going to be a display.
Last year, this game 50-0. Derek,
yeah, I think it's a bad day to be a Blackhawk. Obviously, when you're playing Reynolds, you know, any day is a bad day to be a Blackhawk there. But especially coming off the three frustrating losses, Reynolds rights the ship. Beats the tar out of the Blackhawks. I'm sorry, boys, but Reynolds will score and score often.
Derek? I mean, Carson?
I don't know what the spread would be for me to take North Buncombe here.
So if we did the actual points and you did, so if it's over 42, you take half. And there's a whole system to it. If it was just straight out, it'd be 62 points. Would you take North Buncombe if they got 62?
Yes.
Probably, because I don't think there's enough time in the game for that.
Yeah, especially with the running clock.
Yeah, that's my point. But I'm going to North Buncombe will not cover 49.
So you're taking North Buncombe?
I'm taking Reynolds.
Okay. I'm also going to take Reynolds. I think Reynolds is mad. I think they have
Reynolds
something.
Reynolds is mad.
I think they got something to prove, and I think they're going to come out, and they're going to try to score as many points as they can.
Yeah.
To kind of shut some people up, like me. Like, you know, Lewis.
All of us.
Yeah.
Except for Patrick. Well, except no, Pat
picked against
Kutauga,
him.
So.
The only one.
Yep.
I also, that you failed to mention in my text message, said, I hope I'm wrong in that text message.
He did say that. He did.
So.
Derek, stop standing up for him. So, that's the games, guys. What game are you most looking to? What do you think is the game that could be the best game, Carson?
I mean, call me crazy, but I'm excited. There's two storylines here. I'm excited for Pisgah to go back to Smoky Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will be exciting. And then I also, how bad is Irwin going to beat Inca? I mean, that is to me, because that game is, the kids don't like each other. So
Last year there was some vandalism or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they painted each other's rocks and whatnot. But there's a couple storylines. Yeah, they did.
Derek, what game are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I think I got to echo Carson there and say, you know, the Pisgah Smoky game is going to be fantastic. That's probably the marquee matchup between Western North Carolina opponents. But I think the Dobbins Bennett Asheville game is going to be fantastic. I mean, if you want to see, you know, some good smash mouth football, I think you go there as well on Friday night.
Pat?
Yeah, I am kind of there. I was looking at that list, and the Asheville Dobbins Bennett has me curious. To Carson's point, I am kind of eager to see what happens in that battle for Cookout. You know, there's a lot of good games. Obviously, I would love to see the Reynolds Rockets just come out and, well,
score 69 points.
Let the Rockets fly.
I guess you're working. You'll be calling the game?
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, Chris and I. And so, by the way, on the live stream, that works on the away games. We were able to watch the Watauga game on their Huddle live stream.
Nice.
So it was pretty nice.
Awesome. Feature.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good. So I think I'm looking most forward to probably Dabo's Bennett and Asheville. I think that could be a good game. Derek, I really am surprised. I thought you were going to pick the Mountain View Prep Stars taking on Asheville School.
Yeah.
But
what a game that'll be.
That could be a high-scoring one. We'll
it
see.
Could be, yeah.
They played like, the. You said that was the Harlem Globetrotters on their schedule?
Yes.
Well, Savannah Bananas.
Or is this one of those lingerie teams that you were referring to in the beginning?
Patrick, I will send you a link. Okay.
Well, no, wait a minute. Wait. No. No links to lingerie.
Can you send it to him and Mary in a group text? That'd be great.
Somehow I've seen. Absolutely not. Somehow my algorithm on Twitter, I've seen it before.
Your algorithm.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be on all our social medias from now on, just from this conversation.
All our phones are listening.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it. Derek, you mentioned you might have a fun question.
Yeah, I kind of got one. I was thinking today, what is your favorite football play? Is it a game-winning field goal? Is it a type of trick play? What is your favorite thing to watch happen on a football field?
I really like it when the other team tries a long field goal and you catch it and run it all the way back in the final seconds.
Mm, that hurts my heart.
I'm just picking with Derek right there.
That was a great finishing. It was awesome.
I mean, that's probably one of the most famous ever.
Oh. I do not like last second field goals because I do not like putting anything in the hands of a guy who only plays four plays a game. So I like, give me a 95-yard drive where you just pound the rock in the end zone to win the game.
Love it.
I like that. I'm going to go with a scoop and score. I think scoop and score is just fun to watch. It's just so satisfying, especially if the person that picked up the fumble caused the fumble. I think it's satisfying to watch.
Gotcha.
Smash mouth counterplay for me. I love it.
Love it.
Men or women?
Generally men. Okay.
Clip that. Generally, men.
Pat, a former offensive lineman, so that makes sense. A little counterplay. Yes. Are you pulling right there?
And kicking that D end out.
And they don't even see you coming.
No, nope, ear hole them. Good times.
Derek?
I love a good trick play. I think one of the funnest things to do is draw one up. And you're sitting there. It's playground type. You draw it up in the dirt. We used to have like a little bet between myself and another member on staff of, if we called the trick play and it worked, we'd pay the other one. So I love it. I think, my mind goes back to Boise State when they beat Oklahoma. They ran the Statue of Liberty and the hook and ladder to win the game. So anytime it works, you're the GOAT, or if it doesn't work, you're the GOAT and you're the scapegoat. So it takes some cojones to call those, and it's fun to watch when they work.
What percentage of trick plays you draw up that don't work?
If you if they don't work, I try to forget about them. But
he said draw them up in the dirt like anybody has grass fields anymore.
Well, this is true.
So, great show. Great show, guys.
It was a lot of fun.
It was.
And what was the variable that made it so great? Oh, we had an absent member of the podcast.
It was. And I just don't know if he's going to be back anytime soon. I don't.
Golly. Hopefully Lewis will be back next week. We certainly missed him. So, till next time.
Yeah, until next time. Tune in.
Love you guys.